Welcome to the extended version of the Ramblecast. Go ahead, Matt. Nick.
Sorry. So, Matt, last week I sang Another Saturday Night by Sam Cooke, and Chris was gleefully going, I actually know that song!
I love that song.
he never knows the songs I sing.
So I was like, he doesn't pay attention. I think that's the problem.
So that's what I asked him, if he knew the song I sang tonight, and he said no. So,
how old is your son, Chris? Is it a month? In a month?
Or he'll be 6 weeks Wednesday.
6 weeks Wednesday. I know, because my granddaughter right now, she's going through her next level of teething.
Mm.
Oh my god!
Well, my daughter lost her front tooth today.
Oh. Did you? Did she?
Yeah.
Was she sitting in front of you in front of the hockey game, and you punched her in the face?
She's had her, it's her front left tooth has been
just hanging there,
So of course, what do? I go out and buy corn on the cob.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh,
nice. You could have been like my granddad and always, tie a string around it, and like, I'm going to put it on the doorknob.
Slam the door.
Yeah.
I used to, when I was a kid, I used to sell these big blocks of bazooka gum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Big, huge block. I used to get like three of those in my mouth.
Jerk around.
Chew it.
Yeah.
And it would pull it out. I go, oh, got it.
Yep.
Or just keep wiggling it until it comes out.
You guys are singing Cover of the Rolling Stone before we hit record.
Yeah,
that was the song that Nick sampled at the beginning of last episode. And no, I did not know that until he told me right before we hit record for the after show.
The Rolling Stone.
It reminded me of a news story that came out the last couple of weeks. So you guys know the song Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve.
Oh, yeah.
Right? By the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, so they were denied royalties to that song, 100% of the royalties to that song, because the symphony bit to it, like the strings, is actually composed by Keith Richards and Mick Jagger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, previously unreleased Rolling Stones song. Or maybe it was released, I have no idea. Well, I don't know if you guys heard the news, but a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, Rolling Stones are giving back 100% of the royalties to that song back to the Verve.
Back to me?
20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
How much cash is it?
Oh, that's got to be a significant amount of money.
Oh, it's a shit ton of money. Yeah.
So are they trying to avoid a lot? Was it a lawsuit?
There was a lawsuit. I'm not sure if the Rolling Stones actually filed it or not. Probably like their managers or whoever's in charge of all that. But I mean, most people I know that are actually from the UK all thought it was bullshit. It's like, because it's a little, well, because I actually think they actually asked permission the when they wrote the song and or whatever, and they were cool with it, but then someone else sued them. It's the same as like with the lawsuit year before last with Led Zeppelin with Stairway to Heaven, and that like this opening band for Led Zeppelin 68 claims that they wrote the opening riff to Stairway to Heaven. And then the lawyers are like, no, that was a common progression at the time. There's many songs that have that.
And Jimmy Page said, yeah, we wrote that. It's
all laws. It's because it generates buzz all these years later for that band. So it gets them money for people to go like, oh, I want to hear that song that they say they wrote first instead of,
because we got to do that. Is what you're saying.
Well, it's just like, what's her name? A Great Gig in the Sky off of the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon record. Richard Wright wrote the piano part to that song, and there's no lyrics to it, but he got a female vocalist to come in and say, hey, I just want you to think about death. I want you to scream. I want you to do this. But it still is a melody that she created on the spot over top of his piano piece. And, I don't think she sued, but her representatives sued years later saying that she is owed 50% of the royalties for that song, because technically her, even though it's no lyrics, she wrote another melody on top of his melody, and the court sided with her.
This gets into kind of a weird artist territory, and I understand music is different than visual art, but also with visual art, there's a lot of art that has been created that has been fabricated by other artists, but the conceptual artist or the lead artist in it actually gets the actual money or the, notoriety for it. Jeff Koons is a huge contemporary prime example of this, who has many artisans working for him, and artists that, fabricate his idea or something that he wants to be made. So, or sometimes he takes advantage of what they've made for him while they're working in his own studio. So
I'm still trying to remember who won between Ray Parker Jr. and Huey Lewis in the News. Them or they sued for Ghostbusters?
No, Huey Lewis did one.
Yeah, it was I Want a New Drug, right?
Right.
And I never got it.
It's things like I'm amazed. I guess because she doesn't care enough about it. But the second part of Layla was written by a woman.
Layla,
the piano part, the dun 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 dun, and her boyfriend at the time was in Derek of the Dominoes, and he just basically said like, "Oh, we've got this little bit here," like, and tacked it to the end of the song. You know, and
that's the best part of the song.
It's the best part of the song, yeah. And she has never to this day ever received credit for it.
And she sued any cash?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I guess she just doesn't care enough about it. But you guys can Google it out there. I mean, a woman wrote the second half to Layla.
Huh. Let's get her money.
Not saying anything, but she probably was paid in cocaine.
Cocaine.
Dance. I mean, this song called Cocaine.
That's JJ. JJ Cale wrote that. Yeah,
it was a follow up song.
Yeah. Well, Layla came out in late 70, and that Cocaine came out in 77. So it's a little late.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It took a while.
You should go on Jeopardy, Nick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just know my music history. It's because I'm that person. You know, that it's like, oh, you know, the White Album was released in November of 68, but the single off the track was Hey Jude, was the A side, and Revolver was the B side that came out in August of 68. You know, like, I'm just that.
Yeah, person. Again, you should go on Jeopardy
if music be like, if it's just all music stuff.
It was November of 1968.
Yeah.
It's always fun, when you're watching Jeopardy. And speaking of which, James has been dethroned.
I don't watch it, but I heard he got kicked off.
Well, he didn't get kicked off.
He lost. I know he lost. That's what, about a month?
Alex just comes over. He's like, get out of here. Get him.
Can you just go away? I mean, how much money did he make?
A lot. He didn't break the record, but he made a lot.
He didn't. He was six. What was he, like 60,000 away? He was close.
What's he want? He wants to do something in sports, right?
It was around 2,400,000 or something like that. So I'm just rattling off like the figures that I just read last
what,
night.
It's
so
what please. Is 2,400,000?
Yeah, but it's
please,
in
please don't quote me on
it's in California,
numbers.
So he'll probably only get like 100 grand out of it. So
it's probably true. Oh my god! Anyway,
it's funny.
Yeah, I like
Jeopardy too. And like, I think everybody would like to be on Jeopardy because there's some episodes you're just like, dude, I'm killing this show, and then there's some episodes you're like, fuck.
Yeah,
there's
sometimes I've made a run on the board, and there's I'm going, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Whenever it comes to the art section, I'm always like, yes, I got this. You know. And I'll do pretty good. But then if they throw a museum question in, I'm always like, I don't know that fucking museum. What the hell? Like, so like there's certain little things within an area of expertise that can trip you up, you know, but I guess if you're going to be on the show, you probably research those things and kind of cram as much as you can to like try to improve your standings. So, but I think all of us though, whatever our expertise will be. I think there's a sports Jeopardy actually, Jack, that was on.
There used to be.
Yeah, no, but I mean like recently though.
Really?
There was a sports. Yeah, like and I'm trying to remember the
Jack likes Jack likes the junior high Jeopardy. Yeah.
Nah, too tough. They get the geography stuff.
I like celebrity Jeopardy myself.
Yeah. I'll take Caillou for 200.
I Caillou'd your mom last night, Alex.
Yes.
And with that, I have to go feed my son.
Oh.
Good place for me to jump off. I'm getting a notification.
Your kid's got an app? Feed me! Feed me, Dad!
You just low jacked your kid. He's got like a little thing on him all the time. So
it's a little camera that actually has a motion and sound detector on it, so I know when he's stirring. And it is, he's 15 minutes overdue.
It's good seeing you again, Chris.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys.
Yeah. See you next week.
See you next day. Actually,
Tuesday.
I'll save one of those the destroyer brings me, and I'll eat it on the next podcast.
Nice. Yeah. Give yourself a 30-minute head start.
30-minute head start. Okay. All right.
Time keeps on ticking.
All right. Good night, boys, and good night, listeners.
In that period of time, I was able to look up Sports Jeopardy, and it looks like it was on from 2014 to 2016, so it only lasted about 2 years. It was on Crackle, and it was
I've seen some of it.
It was hosted by Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick, yes.
Yeah, that's who I was trying to think of. I was trying to think of the host.
I'm a fan of Dan Patrick. I like him.
Yeah, he's not bad. I mean, you know, he's no...
I talked about, I think it was actually early on, like before you even joined us, Matt, like there's the show that I really liked a lot. It only made it like two or three seasons. It was called Beat the Geeks. It came out in 2002, like 2004. And you had four guys versus one person. And, you know, you had a movie geek, a TV geek, and a music geek. And then the fourth geek was just something random. So it could be like, oh, like I love The Simpsons, you know, or I love Star Wars or whatever. And you just had one person that would go versus all of them. And it was great. I love that show. And I don't know why I didn't make it. But
and the geeks.
That's the kind of stuff that I would like because it was very focused. You know, it was like, oh, like here's this trivia. You know, and you'd have to beat them all. It's like, so if you were crappy in TV trivia where they asked, you know, like a Jack question where it's like, you know, who was, you know, the cousin who, you know, in Green Acres. You're like, fuck, how would I know that? You know? Yeah, you didn't have to win. Yeah, you didn't have to beat the TV geek. You just had to beat a couple of them.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah.
I don't. But yeah, go ahead.
I've watched the Game Show Network used to watch it from time to time.
I still watch it. Jack, before we hit recorded one night, was like, what are you watching? I was like, I'm watching Family Feud or whatever. Like, I like game shows.
Yeah, my dad towards the end loved Family Feud. I don't know why.
It's like my sister like caught me like I was staying over there a couple like a weekend one night and it was like late and I was watching Family Feud. She's like, "What are you watching?" I was like, "I'm watching Family Feud." She's like, "Really? Who watches Family Feud?" I was like, "It's great now. Like I love Steve Harvey. It's hilarious." And then like the nephews saw me watching it later on and they wanted to watch it. Of course, it's got a lot of adult humor in it now. Like every category is. You know, like people was like, that's my penis. And they're like, you know, but it definitely want to say it. Most of the things.
I love when they give the stupidest answer. You're like going, I mean, I know you're on the spot. It's you know, the speed round where you're trying to get the big money. And I'm like going, come on, really? That's what you thought the answer would be?
Yeah. You really thought that it was going to be, Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, one of the ones they always show for advertising for Family Feud is, this is during the, just the, you know, the right there in front of him where they hit the button was like, if you were a burglar, what would be the worst thing to break into a house and see? And this guy just hits it and he immediately yells out, naked grandma! Like, I mean, and you're like, although true, sir, I don't think a lot of people said naked grandma.
And why is that on your mind?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the second question.
I like my grandma. She's hot.
Well.
Anything else in the life of Nick, Matt?
No. Matt, just work. Nick. Just work.
Yeah, I'm just loving no work. Tomorrow is that return to work day where after you're done with vacation where you're like, holy shit, I got to put out all these fires and like all of this stuff happened while I was gone.
So, yeah, I know my wife said that she goes, you know what I've noticed since you stopped working with the public, you're in a better mood. And I go, you know, you're right.
Just wait till you get those edibles.
Because the public is just fucking stupid.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
It's not even dealing with public for my job at least. It's more just all of the orders. So there's a lot of orders that come through and actually while we were driving back, so our backup line, our secondary line, forwards to my cell phone. So we're driving, you know, we're somewhere in Ohio today, and clearly the other gentleman that I work with, my partner, the other line was busy, so it forwarded to my cell phone, and my wife decided to answer, and it was a work call, and it was a woman from North Carolina, or specifically Raleigh, who was trying to place a paper order.
Oh, I thought she was saying that the plane had arrived.
It finally got here.
It got here on the trek.
I'm over here in Kitty Hawk. So anyway, yeah, it was just kind of funny.
But what was
her
name? Maybe I know her.
Don't know, because my wife took the call. So oh, yeah. I blame it on her. So anyway, a lot of orders to get to tomorrow. But, you know, it's all part of it. You know, being able to put work out of my mind for a little bit always is relaxing. So
yeah, I finally booked my flight for San Diego.
Oh.
And I'm trying Frontier Airlines. And they're like an a la carte type thing. Like you have to pay for like everything.
Oh yeah.
You got to pay for a carry on. You got to pay for this. You got to pay for that. So
are you wearing shoes, sir? $5.
That's extra weight.
Do you plan on breathing? Wow.
I think it's an Asian airline though, where they're trying out standing seats. Have you guys seen that?
What?
They look like kind of like urinals in a way, in that you're in there like sardines, but it's like a saddle.
So you're leaning back.
It's kind of like a child seat, you know, like you have a little thing that goes up your spine and a harness that you sit into, and you're just standing this entire flight. But it's like there's no weight on your joints or anything.
But then you can put more passengers on the plane.
Right, and that's the thing is that but the tickets are like dirt cheap if you agree to sit in these things.
I don't mind. I like stick because with me, I have to stand every now and then because if I don't, I'm not gonna be able to get up when the plane lands. But I don't know if I can. I couldn't stand the whole time either.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it's like I said. It's like think of like a child's swing. You know, it's got the little holes.
Oh
in
yeah,
like child's you're not swing, yeah. technically standing, but you're not sitting either. You're just kind of.
I was like, Nick, have you put a kid in a child seat lately?
No, not a car child seat. No,
it's complicated. But you know, I hate the people that get on the plane and they stand right next to you. They're moving around. They're hitting. They're bumping into you, and like you're like, because I usually take the aisle. It's like,
oh yeah,
you not see me sitting here.
Yeah, that does suck.
Other people get on the plane. They drag their carry on behind them.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put my ass in your face while I put my bag away.
Boom! As they're hitting everybody going down the aisle.
What bothers me actually the most is just the lack of decency, because it happens almost every flight now I'm on. Like they'll get on, but as soon as you land, like we have at least 3-4 passengers on here that have a very time sensitive connecting flight. So if everyone would please just remain in your seats until these 4 passengers get off, we would be very grateful. As soon as the door opens, everyone just stands up, blah, 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 and it's like, fuck you.
Yeah. That happened to me in Houston a couple of times. I'm like, come on, people. Come on, come on, come on. But people don't care.
Speaking of travel and just, you know, since that was what, you know, I just went through a bunch of driving today. We were playing the road game with my daughter, where we were looking at license plates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd started it yesterday when we left Maryland. And
is that when all your troubles seem so far away?
Yeah, yesterday I did. Because I didn't have to work. Work wasn't facing me. But anyway, we what was the final count we got up to? We got up to 37 states plus 2 others. We got Washington, D.C. and Ontario was our one Canadian
province.
Yeah. So it was a fun game, though, you know.
That's quite a few plates.
Yeah. I mean, we were 13 away. And then, like, even on the way home, like, she was just like, if we could just see in Alaska, like, we were, like, moments from home. And, like, my daughter's just, like, wishing and hoping. But it was funny because we had driven all day on I don't even know what today is. On Monday, we drove all day. And we're just about ready to get to the hotel. And we were pulling off the exit. Ohio plates all around us to the eye can see. It's just Ohio this, Ohio that, you know, and they're all big into their first in flight thing. And we pull up behind this truck.
You don't just say first in flight, liar.
We pull up behind this truck, and it's really cool. The license plate is a rainbow, and we're like, oh, I wonder what state that is.
Yeah,
Hawaii.
And we were
so excited. It was just like our whole car just erupted into this, you know, like joy of like, yeah, like Hawaii, because you know it seemed like the most rare.
That's a long drive too.
That's what I was about to say too. Is like I went for a hike last weekend on Memorial Day weekend, and that was weekend before last. And sure enough, I saw Hawaii play in the parking lot. I'm like, how is that possible? It's like, you know, other than shipping a car here, I was like, how do you have a Hawaii plate?
Tire skis. It's tire skis.
Tire skis.
Or you got a it's James Bond's car. When I was a kid, I said, why don't they just build a tunnel from San Diego to Hawaii?
Yeah, it was a long-ass tunnel.
And people could, I was a kid.
Imagine someone just on the horn the entire time. It's good luck. Shut up.
Yeah, it's just like it's two lanes and it's nothing but like semi-trucks the whole way.
And you got the person texting and driving that causes an accident.
San Diego first in tunneling.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, like, just as rare as seeing Hawaii was seeing a Washington, D.C. plate. We were in Maryland and we never saw a Washington, D.C. plate. We're like in the middle of Pennsylvania, D.C. plate. So
yeah. I know we don't do it anymore because it gets embarrassing, but if we see someone go, hey, California, and they look at us like, the fuck is your problem?
That's Californians.
And we're like, well, sorry. I'm
next Tuesday is when I finally get to switch over to Colorado or thing. Cause like I'm eagerly ready to get rid of my California plates because of just so many people are going like, you from California?
Right.
We get tired of you California people moving here. I'm like, I'm not from California.
Yeah, that's what I told the story before, but on the Married Men show, when we first moved here, we had California, all our cars were California license plates. Yeah. And Dale lived with us for like the first 3 months, and we used to sit on the porch, drink beer, and the guy next to us came up and asked and said, hey, do they treat you right here? And I'm like going, yeah, their neighbors are great. So there's no problem with you guys? You know, that I go, I'm thinking California. I go, no, they accept us. It's fine. He goes, okay, because, well, him and his partner, we're going to move in. and so he goes, it's great. No problem. All this stuff like that. And then my wife comes down and she goes, what was that guy talking about? I go, oh, I think he was wondering if it was okay because we're from California. And he goes, she goes, what? I go, and she goes, no, he thought you and Dale were a couple. I go, oh, that's bullshit. I can do better than Dale. That's insulting. I actually said that. I was like, that just pisses me off. So next time I talk, I go, you know, hey, I got a wife. Yeah. It's not Dale.
Yeah. It was Dale shorts. That's what
it could have been. I don't know, but it was just it was one of our stories where you're like going, no, but they did it. They were great neighbors actually, except for that sometimes their music got a little loud, but would vibrate our the bass would just be rocking our house. I'm like going, oh my god, how am I supposed to sleep?
That's not all. It was vibrating. I just will say we had a rental and we had Florida license plates, and oh my gosh, like the way people react to you on the road if you have Florida license plate is just
asshole.
Like, yeah, totally.
They're the worst drivers. In all 50 states, gosh. Or foreign drivers.
I about lost it on an Ohio guy, and I just had to, like, get over and just let him pass because I was just like, get over it, dude. Like, so, but, you know, it's better to take your breaks, switch with your partner, you know, have them drive for a while, you know, and not get too... not get too caught
up. I usually drive at night. To me, that's... I love to drive at night. Traffic keeps moving. Most of the time, the traffic just keeps moving.
Like time.
Yeah.
Keep slipping. it's funny what pisses you off. Like, because I like, if I have the time, I like to go for a hike or do a national park or just something because it's, you know, it's a good zen moment. You're just relaxed and all that. But it's like what you're saying, Jack. Like, people just piss me off because they're assholes. So, like, I go on this hike, you know, I'm really happy, you know, because the path is pretty much deserted. But as soon as I get to the end, which is this waterfall, it's just a good 20 people, you know, and instead of like just relaxing and enjoying the sound or like, you know, putting their feet in the water, they're just yelling, you know, and talking. And I'm like, I'm trying to have a zen moment here and fucking it up.
You're fucking breathing and it's irritating.
Well, the one that the guy that really stressed me out was, it was a couple and they had probably a 4 and a 3-year-old, two boys, and then they had two brand new twins, like newborns, on a hike. And the parents were just there on their picnic and they were letting the 3 and 4-year-old just go wherever they wanted to. And I'm sitting there on this rock, just like, you know, minding my own business. And all of a sudden I hear something behind me and this 4-year-old is climbing the rock behind me. And it's not like it's a normal rock. It's a steep rock. And I'm already thinking like, what happens if this kid just like loses its grip and just falls down this rock? I was like, I don't know what to do. Should I grab the kid's arm and try to jerk him up the rock or should I just let him be? I don't know. And it's just, it's
natural one of those selection, moments, dude.
Yeah. But it's one of those moments where I'm like freaking out because I don't want the kid to get hurt and I want to yell at the dad for being a fucking idiot. but I can't. And so I end up being more stressed out at the place I want to relax.
I had that moment visiting the memorial. I had never seen the World War II memorial.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It's really beautiful. It sits right between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington and the Memorial. Reflecting pool.
Yeah.
And they got the fountain there. And they even have signs right there like, it's okay to put your feet in. Do not wade.
Right,
right.
There's always people waiting in it.
It's all because of Jenny. Jenny and Forrest Gump set a bad standard.
Well, I mean, it's like, it just says, like, honor. Like, this is a place of honor. Please respect. Yeah. You know, and it's just like, don't wade. You know, it's just like, I don't know. And then there's like kids playing in it and like a dad's taking pictures of his kids playing in it. I'm like, come on. Come on. Like,
well, if you go to Arlington and you have the changing of the guards,
I know.
Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and you always have. I've been there like 3 times.
But they'll yell at you.
There's always someone talking.
Yeah, the soldiers would jump on your ass, though.
Yeah. Please respect me. Oh, I go. You hear people talking. You go, uh-oh, you're going to get your ass chewed out.
Yep.
And it's like, but they have signs everywhere.
Yeah.
Don't talk. Turn your phone off. Do everything. It's out of respect. I mean, you don't have to agree with what happened, but you have to just respect it. If you don't want to do it, don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you when you see it's just like, yeah, let your kid go running around in the thing that says, oh, this is so cute. Let me take a picture of him. No, it's not.
Well, I mean, the best thing I could do with my kids there, you know, my son and I, we went up to the Wall of Stars there, you know, and they have a star represents like 100 soldiers that were either died or lost in World War II. So they have around 4,058 stars or something. You know, so it's really impressive. But it was great that he read the sign with me. We, you know, he's really into math. So he's like thinking through those numbers and to be able to look at all of that and like think about that and think about what that means. You know, it's like, that's the best thing that you can do is to express to them like what this memorial is about, as opposed to, yeah, hey, go play in this pool. I'm going to take your picture as we go play in this pool. And it's like, you know, no, there's a reason why this is there, you know? And it's like trying to express to my son, like, look, your grandfather, he fought in the Atlantic. So, you know, they have the big Atlantic side, they have the Pacific, right. You know, and so in talking to them about, you know, what it's about, you know, not just saying like, oh, it's just, you know, so
right.
I also get into just the artist side of me. I get into like, what it means and how things are laid out. I got to see the MLK memorial. Like I hadn't seen that. And I just, how he's carved out a stone, but it's not finished, how it's unfinished and where we are with everything. It's just like, yeah, it's unfinished. It's not quite done. And you know, and he's standing across from, the Jefferson Memorial, which, you know, there's some symbolism in that as well.
Oh, you're talking about Martin Luther King, right?
Martin Luther King, yes. Yeah. You know, so it's really powerful, like just kind of looking at the different memorials and how, you know, which artists, what the artists actually thought about as they put it together. The FDR Memorial was really powerful. I really enjoyed that one, how approachable it is. I mean, of all the memorials, you know, the statue of.
I took a selfie with that statue.
Yeah. One that doesn't really get, I think, a lot of credit either is the Korean memorial, because if you're coming at it from the backside, you just see these random soldiers placed,
mm-hmm.
and you don't think anything about it. But once you get to the front and then you turn around, it makes total sense. Like, and how they're spread about, and like, oh, like it's just a neat visual.
Well, and they're based off of actual soldiers.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which is even more powerful to think that, like, yeah, this is actually based off of someone. It's not just a random person. You know,
but like you go to the Vietnam Memorial and you go, what a waste.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you sit there and go, God, just
name after name.
If you've seen that Ken Burns, you know, documentary, you go, my God, this is just such a.
Well, it's powerful too, because it's this big gash into the earth.
Right.
You know, so I really like start to think about like how the memorials are put together. I was really moved by just even seeing the I Have a Dream carved into the stone at the Lincoln Memorial when I had been there as a younger man. That wasn't there. So the fact that they had decided to put that in the stone right there where Martin Luther King spoke, you know, I just thought that was really powerful.
Have you guys ever been up the Washington Monument?
No, it's really hard to get up there. Like, you have to have your tickets. It's like at the White House. You have to have tickets well in advance.
Yeah, Cindy and I did that a few years ago. We got tickets for the White House and also the Washington Monument.
Yeah, you're lucky.
You picked your time. You know, we got the time. It was like, because we'd always wanted to go there. And every time we went there, we'd stop by there. It was like 5-hour wait. Like, and then they started doing the, you know, had to pre-get tickets. And I was like, it was probably one of the greatest things, because you see everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was closed, actually. It was closed to the public.
Yeah.
One of the other powerful things that I saw was they had a quilt exhibit, a monumental quilt, which was something that was put together of.
Yeah, I saw the photo of that.
Yeah, basically of rape and abuse survivors. And that was really, really powerful. Like just going up and seeing all of the quilts, things that people had written either as support or as survivors. It was neat, because when we first got there, all of the quilts weren't up. We went into some of the museums, and then as we were coming back to leave home, they were all up, and it was just like, wow, like this was neat. So
yeah, Washington's an amazing place. One thing I wish they would have done is when they put new buildings up, they have to look like the buildings in the 1700s.
Really?
It should have, because I don't like when you have this classic building that's 1700, and then you have this new building, state of the art. I'm like going, it just doesn't. I don't like it. It ruined, like, it's, you have an apartment building next to some house that, or like Ford's Theater. It's like, you know, boom, and you have this. I go, I don't like this. It should have the classic.
All right, fair enough. But I like seeing modern architecture as well. So I.
But you know, you go to New York for that.
No, okay. There's a lot of symbolism though. I mean, like the African American Museum, which is new. You know, it symbolizes a ship. You know, and so
I'm talking more built. I'm talking more of the when they built. It's like I'm talking about not the museum type. I'm talking about the actual town where you're going to the town. We took a bus tour. I'm like going, well, that just looks stupid.
Yeah, you have to designate areas, because like that's what I liked about downtown LA in particular, is that it's a little strip where I lived. It was called the Historic Core. And every building that's ever built there has to be built with that style to keep it to where it's that early 20th century architecture.
Yeah, that's just the way I just think important, like important stuff. Like, you know, just if it's.
Well, especially when you're shooting TV shows and movies.
That's right? What I mean. That's why they do it that way. It's because it's like, you know, because it looks silly if you're trying to shoot a period piece and all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's a huge glass building right there.
We got to spend a lot of money on computer animation now.
CGI in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of New York scenes that are shot in LA are shot in downtown Los Angeles, because they're all one-way streets and they look like New York. And like, it is weird. Like I've said that before, like when you walk outside and all the trash receptacles all of a sudden say New York City, and you're like, what the fuck's going on?
They don't even use trash cans in New York.
Well, yeah, that's true.
When was I abducted?
I know my dad was born in a small town in Pennsylvania, and there's a house there, 17 something. And you're like going, yeah, the Revolutionary War was, that's when just historic stuff like that. And then you have, mm-hmm. but none of the buildings there are modern. It's an old town. My grandmother's house was 100 years old. I don't know. I just like the older, it's going to be an older building. I want to see.
Well, that's what it's things like that. Like I think about when I really sit here and think about like the woman that this house that I'm renting from used to be a barn. And it was built, I think they said, she told me in 1909 or something like that. But you know, it's only been a house for not too long. But now that I'm watching Deadwood, it makes me think of that. I'm like, well, Deadwood's happening in 1886, you know, and I'm like. Think about it. Like this house is closer to.
I think it's 1878, but that's right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's closer to Deadwood times than modern times. It's like this house is, it's over 100 years old. And the only time I can tell though is like the glass is pretty thin. And I can hear stuff coming through it, but other than yeah. I mean, this is nothing special, but it's home for now.
Yeah, it's home. Yeah, I couldn't live in Washington. Number one, too expensive, but.
Yeah, I dated a girl that went to GW, and it's very much like downtown LA in that it's a hugely crowded in the daytime but dead at night. And there's a lot of things like if you ever go back, Matt, I definitely recommend the Holocaust Museum.
I've seen it.
Okay,
good. It's a moving one.
I went there very early on when it first opened up, actually. I've been there. The train car, walking through the train car, is really still one of the most powerful things I remember.
And the shoes.
They had those shoes in Auschwitz as well.
But also not something that I was like, hey kids.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Our plan was we were going to do certain things this time. We can always come back and revisit some of the other
One of my favorite non-touristy things to do in D.C. is just north of DuPont Circle or northwest of DuPont Circle is a place called Dumbarton Oaks, which is an old, I don't know if I would technically call it a plantation. But it's really old, like when DC was founded, but it's over 150 years old. And it's just this huge garden area. And, this time of year when everything's in bloom, it's just beautiful to go to. But not really many people know about it. I think it's like $5 to get in and you can walk the grounds and greenhouses and all that. And it's just a neat thing to do that you won't have to like wait in line for hours to do.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, lines.
I definitely will be going back in the future, but probably not until we see some other sites. Definitely. So,
I mean, there's so much to do.
We got several other states kind of on our wish list.
You ever been to Gettysburg?
That's what I say too. Yeah, like if I was still back and living in the East Coast and having spare time, I would love to drive up through the Shenandoah and do all the Virginia battle sites, and then go up to Antietam, and then Gettysburg, and it would just be.
You got to go to Gettysburg because that's your favorite.
Well, I've been to Gettysburg when I was 11, and I still remember a lot of it. But Gettysburg is a beautiful national battlefield.
Yeah, I always wanted to go there with a metal detector, but they frown on it.
They do, and they still do find stuff. But yeah. you're supposed to notify a park ranger if you find something.
Well, you can't have a metal detector.
That was one of the episodes that of The Office that I'd seen was when they go to Gettysburg.
Oh, they have the hats.
Yeah, they have the hats, and then like I can't think of the guy's name, but he ends up like somebody's Gabe? Like, yeah, Gabe. It's like, oh, you look like Lincoln, and then he ends up doing a Lincoln speech like the whole time. It's pretty good stuff. So, but anyway, Well, gentlemen, is that a show? I think
it's a show. It's a show and a half.
Show and a half. I mean, we went pretty long tonight.
When Chris bails, we have to.
I just want to tell one story.
Oh sure, yeah.
I forgot to tell it during the regular thing. Saturday, Zach was playing T-ball, and Jay wasn't there. He had a toy show, and they only had three players. So the parents helped coach and stuff. So I go out there, yeah, I'll help you. So I'm standing behind Zach. He goes, no, Papa, you stand at second base. And you tell the guys to go. I go, but that's the other team. He goes, no, Papa, you go to second base. And he goes, come here. So he walks me over to second base. He goes, you stand here. That's where his dad always stands there. So he goes, and when they come running, you tell them to go to the next base. I said, okay. So I'm doing it. The other team, I go, yeah, I can stay here if you want. It's no problem. My grandson wants me to stay here. So the other team's up, and this kid goes from first. He gets to first base. And then he runs. I go, okay, stop at second base. And he just runs by me and keeps going to the next, almost like to, like halfway the next field. I'm like going, I go, dude, second base. They're like 5, 6 years old. Maybe 4, 5, 6. I go, dude, second base. Zach comes over and goes, he goes, Papa, you were supposed to tell him to stop at second base. You made a mistake. I go, I did. I was telling him. But he goes, no, Papa, you had to tell him to stop at second base. He didn't know. I said, okay, I'll do better.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, I got a lecture because the kid didn't stop at second base. It was my fault the kid didn't stop at second base.
Gotta love kids giving you the lecture.
Clearly, it's you just have to run to the next base. It's not brain surgery. Kids today, what are they taught?
I can't see Jay bad back talking to you like that. So that's got to be Colleen.
Yeah, Zach's a little more like Colleen than Jay.
Yeah, makes you wonder what. I'm forgetting. This is like, what's the second one saying?
Alex.
Yeah, makes you wonder.
He's really mellow.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean,
he's just kind of. Go to the flow, pretty much.
Well, the second child always does things a little bit differently than the first.
Yeah.
I think it's because the learning curve is not as big, you know, because they can kind of look at the older one and go, oh.
Well, you're also more relaxed.
Yeah.
Like when we got to our third one, it's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, there's that, but there's just like, I think personality, I think there's just always different things that come out. I mean, you know, there's things that my son's probably more uptight about that my daughter isn't. So, you know, it's just, I think there's just different things that happen, you know, from one kid to the next where it's like, oh, that's your personality. I'm this, you know, there's always going to be a thing.
That's so. What I mean. Yeah. Like,
and then and when they do have bad habits, it's always your spouse's fault.
Well, that's true.
Well, it's just like, I'm always fascinated with, you know, if you have two boys or two girls, because they always end up being polar opposites. Because, like my nephews, the first one is very mechanical, he's literal. So if you tell him something that's sarcastic, it'll take him a little while to get it. Cause he thinks like, why would Uncle Nick lie to me? You know? And then he realized I'm joking with him.
Uncle Nick's a dick, man.
That's exactly. That's what Jay would told him. But the second one, though, gets it. He's got the sickest sense of humor I've ever seen in a kid. Like, you know, he's just like, you know, anything that happens, you know, like Home Alone, he loves, you know, that the bad guys constantly are getting their ass kicked. You know, like just, even at like a young age, you know, he gets everything. And it's just funny to me how like psychology works.
Because we're all different. We're not robots.
Well, maybe.
You think that we are robots? Maybe we are BSG.
I think we're BSG. Yeah. What happened? You know, what happened again? You know.
Sometimes I hear music in the walls.
Yeah.
I go to the room and there's nothing there.
Yeah. Or it could be like V. You know.
Well, if we were all robots, then we'd survive the upcoming apocalypse. But you know, hey, whatever.
So yeah, what was up with that? With that we only have 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen this announcement that's been in the news about like that speculating that humans basically like we have about 30 years and
that's been around for a while. Yeah,
no, this is more of a recent you know.
Well, I remember, I
survived duck and cover as a kid.
This is like a global epidemic that all life is going to be wiped out.
So. Well, yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, hell, I remember that 10 years ago, them talking about how by 2050, if we continue to reproduce at the rate that we're doing, that we won't have enough food to
produce. Hey, I've stopped.
Yeah.
I've done my share.
I think this has a little bit more to do with the climate change and CO2s. So
I mean that, but I mean you look at like what's happening in LA right now. Like there's 3 confirmed cases of typhoid, you know, and and they're worried that because of the rats being so large and the trash being so piled up in downtown Los Angeles that they actually might get a bubonic plague.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so it's like.
Well, you know, it's kind of like movies, you know, it's like things just kind of cycle back around. So with same with viruses, they're like measles weren't popular for a while. Let's bring them back. Let's bring back the measles.
Yeah. I just don't think it's popular. I don't want them back.
Yeah. But I mean, all it takes, I mean, look how like when Ebola broke out, what, 2 years ago?
Ebola.
Look how many people freaked out about that. And because we had like 2 cases that actually came to the U.S., all it takes is one thing, and like the whole country would go to shit. I mean, like how much we freak out, you know, if a tornado or a hurricane or something happens, like, you know, all the grocery stores get raided and they're done. And
I know the one time I don't do it, that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
I know the one time I don't do I better get some bread, get some milk. I don't understand the milk, but
I've never understood the milk either.
I never said the milk, but you know, like the bread and. But I've never lost power. That's why I wanted to get solar panels. So if the power went out, I have power.
Oh yeah,
solar panels for a couple hours until the mob sees that you have solar panels.
Be like the Twilight Zone. I'll lock the doors. Stay away. the nuclear threat was coming. Good. Then after it happened, it was just a false alarm. Oh, I'm sorry, Herb and Alba. I'm sorry. We were neighbors and friends, but that's a great Twilight Zone. I'm sure you guys haven't seen it though.
Yeah, it's
not like I've never fucking seen a Twilight Zone episode.
But have you seen that? Have you seen that episode?
Which one are you talking about?
The one where he has a bomb shelter.
And yeah. No, I've seen that one.
But he won't let his friends and family in the. No,
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and they break the door. They break the door of this with like a broom handle. I'm like, okay, but broom handle can break this. You're not too safe in this bomb shelter anyway.
Okay, Sci-Fi Channel used to have a really great thing where they would do the, you know, at the turn of the year, right? The New Year's Eve, they would always run a Twilight Zone marathon.
Right.
Yeah, those were always great. And I used to watch it on Nick at Night back in the day when there was such a thing. So,
has it gone now?
Unless it's its own channel, but it wasn't. I'm not a cable subscriber, so
it wasn't on your cable at the hotel. So you think it's gone?
Nickelodeon was, but not Nick.
I don't know if Nick at Night's still around.
Yeah. I don't think it is. I started to say it earlier about cable, like Spectrum. Xfinity came out here and offered me, you know, that this great internet package and every single channel for $200 a month for guaranteed for 2 years. I was like, well, shit, sign me up.
I don't know. ESPN has like 19 channels and they're losing money. I don't know. It's kind of like CNN has all these channels and they lose money.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. Like they've got to get to, because really in reality, all I want is a few movie channels, Game Show Network, and the Weather Channel, you know, history. I mean,
we cut the cord over a year ago and haven't.
Well, there's only a few things I want. And I think, Sling has got the right idea, but even they're starting to do the same thing too, where it's like, oh, you've got to buy this bundle, you got to buy this bundle or this bundle. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's like, I really want a true a la carte TV where all I want is like 6 channels and that's it.
Yeah, we just cut Hulu for the summer. Just said, screw it, we don't need it.
Yeah, I've never had Hulu.
We do it because we don't have ABC, Fox, and and NBC, and those shows are most of them are Hulu.
Well, when we cut the cord, I bought a DVR and bought a better antenna, basically. So we just DVR all of our TV shows off of antennas.
This is
Netflix, or if I want to splurge on HBO, I splurge on HBO. If I want to cut it, I cut it. So
I remember that.
I might be borrowing someone's HBO.
I remember that back like in 2006 or so, like having a conversation with somebody. I was just sitting there watching it, but they're like, oh, I've got to get home because the new episode of, you know, whatever is on. And they looked at me like, you watch live TV? Like, who watches live TV? Like,
I'll say this because we have the CBS app and like I have to watch Survivor live because The problem is, like, we do the Amazing Race podcast, but a lot of times I don't watch it till the next day because Cindy's too tired to do it. So I said, and if last week we weren't home, and for whatever reason, the CBS app, if you mess it in your time zone, like if it's here at 8 o'clock Eastern time, if it's 9 o'clock, I can't watch it until until it airs in like Hawaii, I guess. I go, that's the stupidest fucking thing. I go, I bought the app. Why can't I watch it whenever, after it's aired? Who the fuck cares if I can't, why can't I watch it? Does that make sense to anybody?
No, of course not.
Well,
that's one thing that it's nice out here, especially like for podcasting purposes. As soon as it airs on the East Coast, you know, I can watch it, Game of Thrones. You know, it's like, you know, so when it comes on 9 o'clock your time, it's 6 o'clock my time, or well, it used to be. So it's like, hey, I can watch it at 6. I have to wait all night to watch it.
I know my dad, when back in the day, he got a satellite, a huge satellite dish, one of those big dishes.
Yeah, my parents do.
And he would watch, you could watch the East Coast shows. You could watch the Tonight Show at 8:30, not 11:30. You could watch all the shows on the East Coast, and you just have to scan move the giant thing. You just scan it around to try and find. Right. And he had it, like, it was great. You could watch any football game because you just get the local whatever the thing is. You scan, but then they started going, okay, people are stealing. You know, we're not making money on this, so they put a clamp on it. So my dad ended up with this big dish with nothing to.
It's the exact same thing my parents did, because, like I said, you know, we're from the middle of freaking nowhere, and I think they might have finally gotten rid of that dish after, you know, 30 years. But same thing,
someone took it.
Yeah, we had this huge black dish out, and, you know, it had holes in it and everything. And I remember as a kid, because, you know, you don't know that it's illegal, you know, at the time, you just know that that's what you have to do to watch certain TV. But I remember having to, like, go to this huge remote and type in stuff. And it was like, I want Galaxy 5. And it would – you'd hear the motor outside, like, and it would move the dish over and lock into that path that satellite was going, you know. And then, like, I remember, like, being, like, Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 5. And there was, like, a couple of other ones that was weren't called Galaxy. But there was, like, five or six satellites that I would have to move to at certain times.
I was like, I like big dishes and I cannot lie.
It was cool until they wanted to make money, screwed everyone over.
Rich people always fucking us over.
Yeah. Anyway, life isn't fair.
And then you die.
In 30 years.
Yeah.
Extinction time.
Look, again, if I could, I know I'm being selfish here, but if I can make it 30 years, I'm pretty happy. I'll be almost 87 in 30 years. Think of that. 87. God damn it, for podcasting and
Well, that's what cracks me up when we see all these preppers, you know, like even back in the Cuban Missile Crisis, like, we got to build a bomb shelter, you know, or you see them every now and then, these paranoid channels where it's like, you know, buy a 3-year supply of dried food. And you're like, who the fuck wants to live through that shit? I don't. Like, if I see a nuclear fireball, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, shit, I guess I'm screwed.
Well, you saw Chernobyl.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the worst thing about Chernobyl is when they were describing how those people were going to die, that they have the initial burns and stuff, and then they feel better, but then they start getting eaten up from the inside, and it's just like, and the part with the dogs and the cats.
That was hard to watch.
There were some rough parts in this thing, and you sit there and go,
really selling the show on me, guys.
It's fascinating.
It's a great show, Matt. It's just. It is. It's hard to watch. It's not something you binge. You know, you watch one episode at a time.
I did watch two episodes back because I forgot about it. I watched the first episode, and then I thought it was like, I go, wait, where's it? Where, I thought it was. I go, oh wait, it's once
you watch that, and then you have to counter it out with a little bit of Veep. So
I haven't watched final season of Veep yet, but
I'm not sure if you know at the very end, Jack, like, the one thing that really shocked the hell out of me, that I was like, no way, was when it said, like, you know, of the three guys that went to the water.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no way. Like, so, like, in episode 2, I think, Matt, you see
– spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen.
Yeah, you see these three guys that volunteer to go wade through this radioactive water to reroute this water so it will cool off this reactor. And you know, automatically, like, these guys are fucking dead.
Well, they say that.
The suicide mission, you're going
to die,
and it says at the very end, like, in the, you know, like a, you know, just like subtitle thing. it says like, yeah, like of the three guys that went through the water, two of them are still alive to this day. And you're like, no, and
none of them, none of them died right away. None of them died.
Yeah. And you just wonder why.
You just, it's just the luck of the, because they're literally waiting in radiation. It's amazing.
But they have three legs now.
Yeah.
Well, but they're alive.
They're alive.
They can run faster.
Tail.
Well, I did like the one part with the end where the Russian government only admits that 31 people died.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
They said 31 people died.
Yeah.
They don't really know the number because they stopped doing, they stopped keeping track of it after the initial.
Yeah, it's like us with Puerto Rico, you know, with the hurricane, that like they only count the people who died at the immediate hurricane. You know,
I just keep thinking of like X-Men references, and like one of them opened up a school for gifted. Can telecommunicate with minds across the country.
Yeah,
one of them can phase in and out of walls, and the other one can shoot webs.
I like the part where they're trying to get the robot. And they get the German robot.
Oh, right.
They lied about what the percentage was.
Right.
So it stops working. They go, what about the Americans? Well, even if they had something, they wouldn't send it to us. Because of the technology. They wouldn't do it because of the technology.
Right. Because, I mean, that's what a lot of Russian technology is based on for, not, you know, at the 80s. But Stalin did that. He was so impressed with the B-52 that he, when they actually captured one, they reversed engineered it to build their bomber, which is, you know, it's like, and I remember like watching it. I had to be on the History Channel. They're talking about that. Like it would have been much cheaper for them just to build their own damn plane, but they took them years to reverse engineer.
Russian ingenuity, diplomatic immunity.
It's just been revoked.
KGB, you don't mess with KGB. KGB will hunt you down.
Well, gentlemen, they're just stories. from this intoxicating gin and tonic that I had at the beginning of the show.
I was curious what you were drinking.
If you got a good buzz on, go watch Chernobyl.
That's okay. I'll catch up. I'd rather catch up with the Deadwood, which is on my wish list, but I'll probably chill out to a little bit of Stranger Things because nothing chills my mind like that.
Well, you got Winona Ryder.
I do.
Well.
All right. Well,
there's a mom who's messing her child. Why are we so angry at it? Jeez, man.
Yeah,
my parents, I made them watch the first or second first two, a while back of Stranger Things. My mom refused to watch it because she thought it was about kidnapping. She's like, I hate when kids get kidnapped, you know. And,
no, technically.
Yeah, and then she, but it's because she wasn't paying attention, you know. So she thought it was like some person, like, you know.
Oh.
And then she called me, I think on Sunday. She's like, we're watching this show called Stranger Things. It's really good. I'm like. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
Anyway, well, that's it. That's our extra extended. I think it's longer than the original podcast.
It's extended.
Extended
the podcast. But anyway, if you like this show, we do it all the time. we thank Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Glaffelder, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Ed the Creepy Letter Carry, and Drake the Destroyer. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for everyone what you do, and thanks for listening. That's all I got. Great show, kids. 1 in a million. See you next Tuesday. Bye. Blah, blah, blah. Everything out.
Okay.
Matt, you got anything to say?
Make my day.
It's go ahead. Make my day. I just watched that clip the other day. Excellent.
Dang it.